Keep pushing that button. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord has ascended into heaven, but he is discussing with his apostles what is to take place. First, of course, he upbraids them because of their lack of faith, for they had been told by others who had seen Christ had risen from the dead, that he was alive, and yet they didn't believe. And so first of all, he upbraids them. He scolds them, if you will, like little children. You've seen all the miracles I've performed, and when I perform this wondrous miracle, the greatest of miracles, you won't believe this. You doubt it. And then he commissions them. He commissions them to go out and to preach to the whole world. And with this commission, they're told, those who believe, they will be saved. And those that do not believe, they're going to be damned. They will be condemned. The apostles believed because they saw, because they touched, as we saw with Saint Thomas. But our Lord says, blessed are those who believe who have not seen, who have not touched. And then our Lord, after giving this commission to the apostles, he ascends into heaven. As we saw in the epistle, the Acts of the Apostles, we see them all standing around watching our Lord going up into heaven. And two angels have to appear and say, men of Galilee, what are you doing here? It's time to get to work. This Jesus that you saw ascending into heaven, he's going to come back just like you saw him go up. And this, of course, this separation from Christ, this one whom they love so dearly, their best friend, has caused them great sadness. We're told of all the wonderful things that they did, the miracles that they performed, how they went out and preached. But that comes after they received the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. Right now there is, even though this is a joyous celebration, Christ has ascended into heaven, he's with his Father, there is this sense of sadness, this sense of separation. When we have lost someone that we love dearly, or they have gone away, and we don't know when or if we're even going to see them again. It is a self-centered sadness, a self-centered loss. As Christ pointed out to his apostles, you should be happy for me, for I'm going to the Father. You should be rejoicing. But yet you're all sorrowful, you're all downcast. It's very much like a mother when her son goes off to the seminary. She's very sad, the family's very sad. You're going to leave us? When yet she should be very proud, she should be very happy that she is a son who has been found worthy to enter the seminary to study for the priesthood. But on that day of ordination, you see that this woman's a completely different woman. From all the tears of having lost this son, now comes all the joy and the happiness of having given a son to Christ, a son to God. And each and every one of us has this separation, this loss, this sadness to endure somewhere in our life. When we are young, God inundates us with all kinds of wondrous blessings. And as we get older, we see that they lose their pleasure or they're taken away from us. Gradually, we are weaned off of all of these little things. As the scripture says, you know, we feed milk to infants. But as we grow stronger, then we begin to eat solid food. We begin to eat meat. And And tragically, most people in the world want to hold on to that milk. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to suffer that terrible pain of separation, that pain of loss. But it is only through this separation that we can grow in the spiritual life, that we can draw closer to God. All the things of this earth that we gathered unto ourselves and we cling and hold on to, that we make gods out of, our family, our friends, our neighbor, our property, our wealth, our position, whatever it may be, we hold on to it and we cling to it, and if it's taken away from us, it causes us great sorrow, when actually it should be causing us great joy. For God is purging, He's taking away from us gradually these things of the earth, so that we will be less worldly and more spiritual. Because one day we're going to have to leave it all behind. All of these good things that God has given us, we're going to have to leave them all here. We will have to be separated from them. And if we're not ready to be separated at the time of this separation, we're in for a terrible pain and suffering, a terribly rude awakening. For those who have clung to this earth, clung to the things of this earth, and they're not ready to leave them, will have them taken away violently at death and will never again enjoy them. He will be separated from them for all of eternity. And he will be miserable in the depths of hell. He has suffered this terrible loss of all the things that deceived him here on earth, that he thought gave him pleasure. He will be separated from all eternity, from God Himself, who is the only being that can give him any pleasure. And he will have no one to blame but his own foolishness, his own self. And so God is very generous in sending us pain, in sending us separation, in sending us all these misfortunes, and little at a time. There's no one in this world that has not had to endure this. Everyone loses a friend. Everyone loses money, property, his reputation, his loved ones. And if we can do this while we are still alive here on earth, not cling to these things, but to be able to let them go for the love of God, to suffer all these things of this earth for the love of God, we will find that it is not so terrible as we once imagined. To give up the things of this earth for the love of God is truly a joy, a consolation, both here in this life and in eternity. The fad a few years ago used to be to go all to these pagan mystics, you know. All these wise gurus sitting on the top of their mountains, up on their pinnacles. We look up to them and say, oh wow, how great these people are, how noble. What wisdom they have. And so many foolish Christians went following after them, looking for some great insight into reality, into the world around them. And the fools never realized that we have the greatest mystics right here in the church. That the pagans have taken the Catholic books and studied them and applied them in their own misguided natural intellect to present themselves as these great philosophers, as these wise men. Whereas the wisdom of these mystics is right in our own hands, right in our own books, right in the lives of the saints. You want to understand the world around you. You must begin by first understanding God, understanding who you are, where you are, why you are here. And it's true, God placed us here to be happy. But He is more concerned with an eternal happiness. This is our testing ground. This is where we have to prove ourselves. This is where we have to prove to ourselves and to the world and to God that we love Him. And how must we love Him? With our entire being. With this preferential love. We must love Him more than anything else in this world and even more than our very selves. And once we have this love for God, as He begins to pull and to separate us from the things of this world, our first natural inclination is this sadness. We've lost something. But we have lost nothing. Because the things of this earth really are nothing. When we begin to realize and put things in the proper perspective, that which we lost is nothing. That which we gain is everything. We cannot grasp God, we cannot come to God until we lose these things that we were attached to, these things that were so dear to us. I think one of the most moving things in the Confessions of St. Augustine is where he speaks of his dear friend who died. He speaks of the pain of separation. He tells us that he feels that if it's as if a part of his very being had died when his friend passed away, part of his own soul died and was taken from him. He was so close, so united in friendship with this man, and he missed him dearly. He speaks of how he wandered throughout the world looking for his friend. Where is he? Crying to the heavens, crying to the earth, crying to everyone around him. Where is this friend? This one whom I have loved, where has he gone? What has happened to him? Why must I suffer this separation? Why must I suffer this pain? And this is something for us to reflect upon. Because if we have not suffered this yet, it's coming. The time is coming when we will have to go through that. And it will happen over and over throughout our lives. Until eventually we reach that point at the end of our lives when everything will be taken from us. Everything in this world will be lost to us. How will we approach it? How will we react to all this? So many who leave this world leave in the greatest agony. Not so much the physical agony as the spiritual agony. They don't want to leave. There is so much in this life that they didn't do and they wish they had done. So many places they wanted to go. So many things that they wish to settle and they're not ready to leave it yet. And it is killing them to leave these things. It is killing them spiritually. By being unwilling to leave these things behind, their souls are dying, falling into the depths of hell, because they have loved these things more than they have loved God. as we can sympathize with these apostles as they stood there with their mouth agape, looking up into heaven, seeing Christ getting smaller and smaller, disappearing behind the clouds. We can understand their pain, their loss, their separation, their fear. What are we going to do? Our Lord, our guide, our master, our leader, he's gone. Where shall we go? What shall we do? Even though Christ has been trying to prepare them for this for a long time, for years, they're still suffering. We can sympathize with that because we have lost something ourselves. We have lost someone ourselves. Perhaps not someone so dear as Christ was to the apostles, but nonetheless, something dear to us, someone dear to us, has been taken from us. But yet we see the wisdom of this angel, of these angels, telling these men of Galilee, he's going to come back. What is separated from you now is not lost. It is your gain. It was necessary that Christ go to heaven and there to send the Holy Ghost down to the apostles. If Christ had not gone, the Holy Ghost could not have come. And it's the same with us. Unless we let go, unless we begin to separate from these things, we cannot receive. We cannot get anything better. The man who clings to his little hovel, and he gets nothing, he never improves. He never gets any better. He has to be willing to let it go. He has to take a chance. He has to risk losing it all if he's going to gain. But we have nothing to worry about losing. It's not a gamble with us. Christ has laid it out very clear. Give up these things willingly, out of love for me. Sacrifice yourself to these things, or sacrifice these things for me. Take up your cross daily, come follow me. And what does he promise us? An eternal happiness. In taking up that cross, you're going to find it becomes light, it becomes sweet, it becomes lovable. In separating yourself from these insignificant things of this earth, these things that are really nothing, you open up the possibility for your heart to love something greater. This is what our Lord held out for the apostles, and he holds out for us. Die to this world. Die to all your passions, all your pleasures, all that you love in this world. Die to all of this. And then you will be able to live to God. Then you will be able to enjoy happiness. And though we are sad, we should rejoice. Just as the apostles, when they were persecuted, when they were stoned, when they were martyred, when they were imprisoned, we see that invariably, one after the other, cries out with joy, with pleasure, with gratitude. They actually loved their enemies. They loved those who persecuted them. They began to laugh at the pain and the suffering. We see St. Lawrence laughing at the people trying to roast him. He jokes with them and says, "You can turn me over now, I'm done on this side." The apostles coming forth from imprisonment, from scourging, from all these things, rejoicing, "I have been found worthy to suffer these things for Christ." They rejoiced in the separation of this world, because in separating from this world, they were being united closer to Christ. That is what we must strive for. That is what we must remember in every difficulty, every suffering, every separation, every painful event in our lives. It is a gift from God. It is an opportunity to draw closer to Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.